Now, the Sunday Spin continues on 720 WGN. Here's Rick Pearson.
A beautiful Sunday morning in downtown Chicago. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the Allstate Showcase Studio in Tribune Tower on a beautiful, sunny North Michigan Avenue. Joining me on the phone is Chicago Alderman Anthony Beal from the 9th Ward. Alderman, thank you for joining me this morning.
Thanks for having me. Rick, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. I wanted to have you on after you and I talked last week when you were attending an event in South Shore involving Chris Kennedy's candidacy for governor. And Kennedy, as a candidate, has talked increasingly with a great deal of criticism about the property tax system in the state, the tax system in Cook County, and speaking very critically about the way properties are being assessed. And you indicated he's the only guy talking about this, and that's why you were on the Kennedy train. but I mean, tell me what you feel about the assessment process.
Well, let me just say, Rick, I'm basing everything off of the study that was done. I think it was by the MacArthur Foundation. And that study came out a couple of weeks ago, and they started having hearings on it in the county. And, you know, after reading up and listening to the results of the study, I thought it was just extremely troubling that if the study is true, that, you know, communities like mine are being over-assessed. And so I want to get to the bottom of it. Kennedy is, you know, Chris Kennedy is talking about it. He's the only one talking about it. And so, you know, in my opinion, is if something is wrong with the system that is assessing properties throughout this entire county, where certain communities are being over-assessed and other communities are being under-assessed, I think that's a huge, huge problem. So I want to get to the bottom of it. And if you look at the if you look at the people who are running for governor right now, you know, he's the only one talking substance. Everybody else is trying to buy the election, but they're not talking about what they're going to do. They're not trying to say these are the problems. These problems need to be addressed. And Chris, in my opinion, is the only one talking about that.
And the issue comes down to and the Tribune had exhaustive reporting on the issues involving how properties are assessed in Cook County, and how it's poor property wealth portions of the city, those also in Cook County, suburban Cook, but that those poorer properties are the burden of assessment is falling on them, less so than the wealthier, more valuable properties. And so it's a burden shifting is what it is.
Absolutely. And if that's the case, communities that are black and brown of color that are being over-assessed are the same communities that are getting the least amount of services, that have the worst school systems. So all these things are happening, but, per percentage-wise, they're paying the most. So that's an injustice when you look at how the entire system is being rolled out. And then, you know, on top of that, when you look at the fact that, you know, crime is running rampant, there are no jobs in certain communities, you know, systematically, when you look at the foreclosure crisis, systematically, now you see why this could potentially be one of the reasons why you have so many foreclosures in black and brown communities, because they're being systematically taxed out of their homes.
Right, and it perpetuates the cycle.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I have one of the oldest communities in the nation. That study was done back in 1998. You know, I have a very older population, and so the foreclosure crisis hit my community the hardest because predatory lenders were preying on my community. Well, who knew that the tax system was preying on my community also? So I just want to get to the bottom of it, because I think that has a direct reflect on why there are so many vacant properties, vacant homes, and foreclosures in the black and brown communities.
And, you know, we should look at this also not just from Chicago and Cook County, but statewide, in the issue of why, the issue of assessment is so important is because of the reliance of how we fund our schools.
our school system, you know, should not be relied on property taxes. We need to, you know, we need to shift that burden. So there's a whole host of things that need to take place to try to right the wrong that have been taking place over the last, I would say, 40, 50 years. And if we don't do something about it, then, you know, you're going to continue to see people leaving the states, leaving the city, because the opportunities are just not there. You know, I believe Chicago and Illinois should be leading the country in innovation and job creations and things like that. But we're not. People are leaving the city because of the poor education system, the high crime, and the lack of opportunity. And that's why people are leaving. They're being taxed out.
Alderman, we've got a call from Ron. Ron, as always, welcome to the Sunday Spin.
Yes, good morning, Ricky. Good morning to the Alderman. Alderman, I know you said you supported Kennedy relative to this position, but for point of clarification, these tax matters, aren't they more related to the county? Aren't they governed by the county? So I want to find out what your position particularly regarding burials. But can you make a point of clarification for us that that has a lot to do with county matters as opposed to with the governor's office? Thank you very much.
Well, absolutely. This is a county matter. But when you look at it, this is a county matter that's affecting poor communities. And that's why, you know, I'm speaking out on it, because if it's not fair and it's an injustice, you know, I think I have a responsibility to speak out on it. And this has nothing to do with burials. This has to do with the system. And I believe this was probably in place before burials even took office. And so, you know, we just need to get to the bottom of it. Everybody should be assessed at the same rate. There shouldn't be two tiers or three tiers assessments throughout the entire county. It should be one assessment, and everybody should be paying the same rate. No different than what they're talking about on the federal level. On the federal level, people are being taxed at a different rate. The rich are being taxed at a lower rate, and middle class and lower class are being taxed at a higher rate. That's wrong. And we need to right these wrongs that have been hurting our communities for a very long time. So, you know, and the reason I'm supporting Kennedy is because Kennedy is the only one that's talking about this. He's the only one saying we need to right this wrong as far as the assessor system, the assessment system that's put in place.
Well, I think there's two points here, and Ron does bring up a good point. And I know you talked about, you know, Barrios and the system, but there also needs to be some clarity out of the assessor's office about how assessments are done. And that was something that Tribune story, you know, found that there were issues with because of what the formula is to do more accurate property assessments. And mm-hmm. So I think clarity is an issue there. And yes, while it is a county issue, the fact of schools throughout the state being so over-reliant on property taxes for funding does kind of, even though property taxes are a local funding source, the fact of the public school system statewide being so dependent on property taxes does, I think, raise this to the level of a state issue, because the only way you're going to lessen that reliance on property taxes for public schools in the state is through more state tax revenue. And how do you achieve that? And that's kind of the ultimate question there. And you know, Kennedy has talked about, as frankly all of the major Democratic contenders for governor have talked about, wanting to have a graduated income tax rate in the state rather mm-hmm. than a flat tax that would tax wealthier incomes with a higher levy than lower incomes. But Kennedy's also talked about what he calls a basket of taxes to try to change the over-reliance on property taxes. But he's not calling for an elimination of them, just a lesser reliance on them for school funding.
Absolutely.
So that's I think that's how it kind of fits into this whole picture. I wanted to ask you, too, about, I mean, you talked about how the issues of foreclosure were hitting heavy, and, you know, there still is the fact, and people in the suburbs, are their property is assessed at a much greater level than in the city. And mm-hmm. so, I mean, when you find that inherent problems in assessment, it strikes in different ways, depending on where you
Absolutely.
Live.
Absolutely. Depending on where you live. Absolutely.
But when you do find the issue of communities that are most in need of kind of governmental services and schools and education, and they're paying the burden of it, and there ought to be some formula there for what goes in goes back out.
Well, it's going out, but it's definitely not coming back in, right?
Yeah, but I mean, it would seem that there ought to be some kind of a independent kind of way to find a mechanism to account for that.
Right. To give the communities that need more resources to help their communities be just like everybody else's.
But it's with the city council, it's always a competition for resources, right?
Well, you know, there's one, you know, I talked about this the other day. There's, you know, a pot of gold, and everybody's trying to put their hand in that pot of gold. And we're all fighting for that same resources. And, you know, it just depends on who can get the resources and where the priorities on where those resources go. So, you know, I'm always trying to bring resources into my community. We're trying to always look for different ways to get creative funding back into the area. But, you know, it just seems like you always fall short when it comes to certain communities.
We're speaking with Chicago Alderman Anthony Beal from the city's 9th Ward. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Back to the Sunday Spin, the theme from the Howard Beal Show. I'm Rick Pearson.
I told you that music works very well.
Yes, we may consider making that the new theme song. Alderman, thanks for putting up with that. I'm speaking with Alderman Anthony Beal from Chicago's 9th Ward. I wanted to ask you about these revelations about TIF funding, always a very controversial issue, but revelations about $55 million in TIF funding that was supposed to be or had been viewed was needed to acquire land for the new big hotel at McCormick Place, but in essence it was $55 million in TIF money that then got transferred to Navy Pier to pay for the improvements at Navy Pier. It reminds me of how the state lottery money was supposed to go to education, which it does, but at the same time, that meant the state didn't have to put in as much money. And that's kind of what this looks like.
Right. It wasn't an addition to education. It was a swap of funds.
Right. And the BGA and Cranes reported the story and have the emails that basically say that the money would come in from the TIF money and then it was sent to the Navy Pier project.
Right.
I mean,
well, they claimed it was a reimbursement. We had a hearing on it last week, and I want to commend Alderman Pat Dow for attacking this very aggressively because, you know, she supported that project wholeheartedly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she was and I saw her after the story came out. And to say she was angry and felt blindsided would be to put it mildly.
Absolutely.
And because she was very much active out front as, you know, what that development and McCormick Place means and things for Brownsville and you know, you got the Paul Arena going in there and that kind of, I mean, just mm-hmm. for economic development there. And then then to see this kind of fiscal sleight of hand.
Well, one thing about TIF, you can use TIF in so many different ways. And when you're dealing with financing on a level where you're trying to put projects together and you're dealing with tens of millions of dollars, you can always get creative in how you finance in these deals. And, you know, you can always hide how things are being funded and you know, kind of use the system to your advantage if you're looking at trying to accomplish something without really tipping your hand on how you're getting these things funded. You know, you can always do that with creative financing. And so that's one of the reasons why people have been asking for transparency as it relates to the TIFs. But TIFs are so complex. They're so confusing. You know, you really have to deal with them every single day to really understand them thoroughly. And so you can always move money. You know, it's almost like a shell game with TIF and other financing. You got new markets tax credits you can be using. There's all kind of different ways you can use funding for these projects. And so I think what happened on this particular project, it was a reimbursement, but it just gave the impression that TIF money was used for, you know, something that was not supposed to be used for. And so I think we got to the bottom of it. Again, Alderman Dow did a very good job at the hearing and got to the bottom of it because she really felt blindsided in how this was done. And it wasn't communicated to her how it was going to be done. They just said, well, this is what we're going to do. And so, you know, she didn't know how they were going to move the money around, and I think she just felt blindsided by that.
Well, and of course, TIFs are always come up when there are issues involving the problems of Chicago public school funding. And,
right.
And I mean, do we have too many TIFs in this city? Is too much of the city covered with TIFs?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, there are not enough projects on the books. We need to, you know, get a lot more projects done to use TIF money, because that's what TIF money is for, is to help bridge projects so we can bring jobs and services to underserved communities. And so it's effective from what we're using it for, but I just don't think we're aggressively having enough projects, because we do have a lot of TIF money. And I'm going to tell you, if I had my way, you know, with my project that I have, we'd use a lot of TIF money. I could use a lot more. But my TIFs are tapped out because I have aggressively brought jobs and opportunities into the area. And so I need more TIF money. And, you know, certain areas don't need as much TIF money as communities like mine. So I'm a fan of TIFs. Do we have enough TIFs? You know, I mean, they do expire after 23 years. I don't think we have too many of them. But again, I just think we need more projects to spend the TIF money on.
One other issue that came up last week was the issue of the plans from the mayor to offer people who got traffic camera tickets another chance to contest the validity of those tickets and to get some kind of reimbursement from that.
Right.
And you kind of have questioned, given what the fine is, the reimbursement level. Doesn't sound compensatory. Is that correct?
It's definitely correct. Well, you know, a few months ago, last year, in 2016, we knew this lawsuit was out there. This class action lawsuit with the red light camera. We knew it was out there, and we tried to change some rules and regs. And also, the city recognized that the second notices weren't going out, and fines were doubled on a lot of these tickets without the people having a second chance on paying these tickets. And so we tried to change that rule and gave the people an opportunity to apply for this money to head the lawsuit off, but it didn't work. And so the city, we ended up losing a $39 million judgment, and we're having to pay that money out. And now you look at the lawyers are the ones walking away with $11.7 million, and then you have $12 million that's being forgiven. That leaves about $15 million. And you have, I think, 1.8 million people that's going to be splitting, $15 million. And that comes out to, you know, if you break it down, anywhere between $7 and $15, if 100% of the people apply to get their money back, they're not getting full reimbursement.
And, I mean, you're talking about $100 late fees and that kind of, I mean, these were significant payments that were made by people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so I believe the lawyers are the ones that use this system. And once again, they use people who were being violated by these tickets. Now the system was flawed. The second notices weren't gone. We're not, you know, mitigating the fact that the system was flawed from the very beginning. But when you have lawyers that come in and take the bulk of this money, you know, they found an opportunity to basically get rich. And they did it off the backs of people who can least afford to pay these tickets. And they're getting reimbursed a very minimal amount Well, you know, they're headed to the bank with their pot of gold of $11.7 million. So I think something is wrong with that system as a whole. And I understand the legal system. I understand class action lawsuits. But it's the people that are the ones that are hurting. And the lawyers are the ones that walk away with all the money because they're supposed to be negotiating for the people when actually they're just negotiating for themselves.
That's Anthony Beal. He's the alderman from Chicago's 9th Ward on the South Side. Alderman, thank you so much for joining me this morning on the Sunday Spin.
No, thank you so much, Rick. Really appreciate it.
We'll be back with more right after this.